In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. As you notice, today we are praying in the joyful tune. Also, the readings are the readings of the Feast of the Annunciation. And why is that? Because today is the 29th of the Coptic month Abib. And on the 29th of every Coptic month, except 2 months, Toba and Amshir, we commemorate 3 feasts. The Feast of the Annunciation, the Feast of Nativity, and the Feast of Resurrection. But with a special emphasis on the Feast of Annunciation, and I will explain why. But why we celebrate these 3 feasts or commemorate them? Because Annunciation happened on the 29th of Coptic month, Baramhat. And the Nativity also happened on the 29th of the Coptic month, Kiak. And the Resurrection historically, happened also on the 29th of Baramhat. So, since these 3 feasts happened on the 29th of the Coptic month, so every 29th of the Coptic month, we commemorate these 3 feasts, but as I said, with a special emphasis on the Feast of Annunciation. Why a special emphasis on the Feast of Annunciation? I want you to think that a person in prison, and then news came to him that he will be released. So this actually, once he hears this news that he will be released and he will be announced or claimed as innocent, at this moment his joy starts. Yes, it will take some time until the fulfillment of this promise, but his joy starts at the moment of the Annunciation, when they told him, you will be released and you are found innocent. The same way we were sitting in the prison of the kingdom of Satan. We were sitting in the darkness and the shadow of death. All of us, we were sold because of our sins to be in the kingdom of Satan. And Satan was the prince of this world. When Archangel Gabriel appeared to Saint Mary, he announced to her that this child to be born will save the people from their sins. He will release them from the prison of darkness and shadow of death, the kingdom of Satan, and he will transfer us to the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this was the starting point of joy, the joy that came to the world. Yes, the fulfillment of this promise happened through the incarnation of the Son of God, Nativity, and then through resurrection and defeating death by his death and opening the doors of the paradise and transferring all those who were in Hades into the paradise of joy. This was the fulfillment of the promise. And the church actually chose the 9 months of pregnancy. Because with the Annunciation that started on 29th of Baramhat, with this day, this was the moment of the conception of Saint Mary. So the pregnancy of Saint Mary started on the 29th of Baramhat and ended on the 29th of Kiak, when she gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. So on every 29th of the 9 months of pregnancy, we commemorate the Annunciation, the Nativity, and the Resurrection. Then after 29th of Kiyar, we have 2 months. The month of Tuba and the month of Amshir. And after this, Baramhat, in which we'll celebrate on the 29th, the Feast of Annunciation. So on these 2 months, actually, because the pregnancy ended in these 2 months, St. Mary was not pregnant. So in these 2 months, we don't celebrate. And the fathers considered these 2 months represent the era before the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ, before the New Testament. So we have 2 eras before the New Testament. 1 era is called the era of the law, when God gave the law to Moses. And the second era represents the prophets, that God sent the messages through the prophets. As we say in the Divine Liturgy, you have not abandoned us to the end, but have always visited us through your holy prophets. So these 2 months, Tuba and Amshir, represent the law and the prophets, the 2 eras that were before the New Testament. The law and the prophets represent the Old Testament. That's why we do not celebrate on the 29th. Also, most of the years, Tuba and Amshir comes during the Holy Great Fast. So, if you understand that the celebration of the 29th only during the 9 months of pregnancy, that's why there is emphasis on the Feast of Annunciation. For example, the reading are not the reading of the Nativity, are not the reading of the Resurrection, but the readings are the reading of the Annunciation, because that is the start point, the beginning of the joy that came to the world. That's why traditionally all the hymns should focus only on the Feast of Annunciation. All the hymns of the church during the 29th of each Coptic month, except Toba and Amshir, focus on only on the Feast of Annunciation, because this is the beginning of the joy that entered into the world. Having explained all of this, let me explain to you what Annunciation theologically means. In the reading of today, as you heard in the letter of St. Paul to the Romans and also in the first epistle of St. John in the Catholic letter, both of them spoke about Jesus Christ became our propitiation, which means kafara. He became our propitiation. What does this mean? After the sin of Adam and Eve, all of us, without exception, we are born with the condition of sin. We are sinners. Also, we are born with a corrupted nature. So, God gave us the law. But can the law make us righteous? St. Paul explained in Romans chapter 3 that by the works of the law, nobody will become righteous. Nobody. And actually, after the sin of Adam and Eve, there were 4 problems that the law could not solve. The first problem, that we are born sinners and we are born with corrupted nature. The works of the law cannot actually justify me and make me righteous and release me, forgive me from the condition of sin and the corrupted nature. The second problem, even if we try to keep the commandment of the Old Testament and the whole law, nobody was able to keep these commandments. Nobody was able to keep all the commandments. And as St. James said in his letter, if you break 1 commandment, you are guilty of all. The third problem, there was no forgiveness, because only by shedding of blood we will be forgiven. And as St. Paul explained in his letter to Hebrews, the blood of the animals cannot actually redeem us. And the fourth problem, we were under the sentence of death, because the wages of sin is death. The works of the law did not solve any of these problems. Then why God gave us the law? God gave us the law in order to know our condition, in order to diagnose our sins. Let me explain to you this. Like when you go and do X-ray or MRI or CT scan, these are diagnostic measures, not therapeutic. So when I do MRI, I know my illness, I know my disease, but I need treatment. That's why St. Paul said, by the law is the knowledge of sin. Means what? I knew that I am sinner because the law was like a mirror, like MRI, CT scan, exposed to me my condition. When God told me don't lie, but I found myself lying, so I discovered my illness. So the law served to diagnose my illness, and I need treatment, I need healing, I need to be righteous. But the law cannot treat me, cannot solve these four problems. That's why God sent his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in order to redeem us, in order to be our propitiation and solve these four problems. By carrying our sins and dying on the cross on our behalf, then, because he carried all our sins and he died on the cross on our behalf, so these four problems were solved. The first problem, the condition of sin and the corrupted nature. Now actually, when we lie with our Lord Jesus Christ in the water of baptism, and when we are buried with him in the water of baptism, and then we arise again, we are born again. The word born again means the first birth, we were born carnal from our parents. But the second birth, we are born spiritual from the Holy Spirit. We are born from the Spirit and the water. So when actually we are baptized and we are buried with our Lord Jesus Christ in the water of baptism, and we rise again, we are new creature. There is no creation in the water of baptism. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And now we became righteous, not because we did any work, but because we died with Christ and we rose with Christ. That's why when we baptize a child, we dress him in white, because the white represents the righteousness. But this righteousness is not our own righteousness. This righteousness is the righteousness of Christ. That's why we put this red ribbon, to tell them that now you became righteous, not because of your works, but because you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You accepted him as your Savior. You were buried with him in the water of baptism, and he rose again as a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then actually, we were not only made righteous, but also we became sanctified. How we became sanctified? God sent us the Holy Spirit to sanctify us. Sanctify us means to make us a holy dwelling for God. You are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit abides in you. So, becoming righteous means all the sins are dismissed. All the accusations against me are dismissed. Now I am declared to be innocent. That's righteousness. But to be sanctified is another step, to be the bride of Christ, to be temple of the Holy Spirit. And since we received the Holy Spirit, then all the commandments, I can keep them not by on my words, but the grace of God. The Holy Spirit will help me to keep all the commandments. That's why St. John said, we know that his commandments are not burdensome. They are not burdensome anymore. Because I'm not trying to keep the commandment by my own power, but my own ability. But now I am keeping the commandments by the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit now is dwelling in me. And what if one day I resisted the Holy Spirit, and because of my weakness, I fell in any sin? That is the third problem. In the Old Testament, the law could not forgive sins. But now, actually, because I am a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, and I received the sanctification in the sacrament of chrismation when Abuna anointed me with the holy oil, my room. But even if I committed any sin, it's not a deal. Because God gave the apostles the authority to forgive sins upon the earth when he called them to receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are redeemed. So when I come confessing that I resisted the Holy Spirit, I did not listen to the Holy Spirit, I did not submit to the Holy Spirit, and I worked it on my own, and I committed my sins, when I confess this and I come with a repentant heart, again I will be justified for the second time through the sacrament of repentance and confession. That's why, as I was made righteous in the water of baptism, I became also righteous in the sacrament of repentance and confession. That's why the Church Father called this sacrament the second baptism. So, after confession, I became righteous in the same way as I came out from the water of baptism. But what about the fourth problem, which is the sentence of death? God solved this for me, and he left for us his body and his blood. And as you are going to hear today the confession, we say, I believe, I believe, I believe, that this is the life-giving flesh. So his body and blood is not only a living body, but has the power to give life. So when I come and partake of his body and his blood, I will have life. I will move from death to life. As the Lord said, he who eats my body and drinks my blood will live forever. So these four problems were solved through the four sacraments: baptism, chrismation, confession, and communion. And in this way we became righteous, and not only we became righteous, but also we became justified. That's why St. Paul, in the letter today of his letter to Romans, he spoke about, therefore we conclude, that is the conclusion, that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. We are justified because we believed in our Lord Jesus Christ, and through baptism, chrismation, confession, and repentance, we became righteous, and also we are sanctified. And Saint John, in the Catholic letter, he actually declared the same when he said, what we have seen, we declare to you. So what are you going to declare to us? That eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with Father and His Son Jesus Christ. So you are not only justified, you are not only became righteous, not only the accusations that against me are dismissed, but also I have fellowship, communion, koinonia with our Lord Jesus Christ and with the Father, with the Holy Trinity. And through this fellowship, through this oneness, through this unity, I became sanctified. So I am now one with God. So all this great news, Archangel Gabriel announced it to Saint Mary when he said, Jesus, he will save his people from their own sins. That's why on this day we celebrate this great news, that we are sanctified and we became righteous because of the love of God, not because we are worthy. God made this plan to save us, not because we deserve it, not because we are worthy, but based on the richness of His love and the abundance of His mercy toward us. He dismissed all our sins. He became our propitiation. He died on the cross. He made us righteous. He sanctified us because He loved us, because of His mercy toward us. That's why we glorify Him and we praise Him on this day, and we give Him the honor, the majesty that is due to Him, because without His love, without His mercy, we will be cursed and will be dead forever. So let us rejoice today. Let us praise the Lord. Let us sing to Him, chant to Him, for His mercy became abundant upon us, and because of the richness of His love toward us. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.